First of all, I kind of qualify my talk here. I'm an agronomist, not an irrigation engineer, and Dr. Earl Voorhees, USDA ARS, has really been a big help for this. And this whole idea of growing rice under center pivot versus flooding is, you know, we've had to really take a systems approach to it rather than really focusing on one element of it. First of all, the grant was funded by Missouri DNR, Department of Natural Resources. They're interested in ways of conserving water and nitrogen. Where we are in southeast Missouri, located in the Boot Hill, and if you're familiar with the geography of Missouri, we kind of jut down into Arkansas. We have plentiful water there. Our water table is relatively close to the surface, but you know, nationally, the rice production in California and Texas and the prairie region of Arkansas is experiencing, you know, water shortages. And probably the reason that we started doing this test more than water was the farmers complained about how much energy the cost of fuel, electricity was, and how they could save money on that. We also, Valmont or Mid-Valley donated the irrigation system for we used for this project. The most of the data I'm going to show you today is actually from the 2009 data, but I'll tell you that we also did the test in 2008, and we had, you know, fairly good yields, 175 bushels of rice and some of our better plots, but our main weed control problem we had was Palmer amaranth or pigweed. We were using Clearfield rice, which is not genetically modified. It's through mutagenesis. It's resistant to ALS herbicides, Beyond and New Path. And what we didn't realize is the field that we had been doing the test on, they had used it for soybeans for many years and sprayed Canopy and a Classic on it, which are ALS herbicides. So when we started a weed control program, we might as well have been spraying water on it. So right off the bat, we were a little bit behind the eight ball on that. So we worked really closely and came up with a weed control system that didn't use that type of herbicides. But what we found really quickly, though, the trick to weed control with the center pivot rice is, you know, get the weeds when they're small and scout the field very closely, control the pigweeds, particularly when they're no more than four leaf stage. And by doing that, we've been very successful this year, particularly 2009. So this is a picture of the field using a spray coupe to spray it. And these are the, you know, we've got weed control plots where we're evaluating different things, but this is the main program that we found to work really well is Command, pre-emergence, and then at the two-leaf stage, stem plus fast permanent, we had some nut grass in there, which the permanent controlled. And then we came back again at the four-leaf stage of stem, facet, and then again with storm, kind of lay-by trite treatment. So the total of that cost was about a little over $100, which is kind of an expensive weed control program. But those are chemicals that are normally used with rice, and that would not be, you know, terribly out of line with what, you know, a farmer would use for normal flood irrigated rice. So we're really pleased we have good weed control with a system that works very well. Okay, we're located in Portageville, Missouri, which is in Boot Hill. We're about 10 miles from New Madrid, which, if you're familiar with geography, one of the biggest earthquakes in U.S. history was it was on the New Madrid fault line there. So our soils, in addition to being variable just because of the way the Mississippi River laid down the alluvial delta soils, we have the component of the earthquake as far as the sandy areas in the field. So several years ago, Brian Otis did a drip irrigation test for rice there. And as a part of our controls, we had flooded areas, and we were trying to have those, you know, comparisons about the amount of water we were using. And you know, we would pump it up in the morning, and by lunchtime, the water would have all gone. So we were getting these huge, you know, over 100 inches of water usage. So it was ridiculous to even consider doing a flood irrigation in that type of field. As this is an aerial picture of the field, you can see here, this part right here was in rice last year, and this year we decided to go back. Normally rice, you rotate with soybeans, but we wanted to go ahead and have rice 2 years in a row. This is 18-acre field. On this side of the field, we've got a variety test. We use the normal variety entries that we're using for our flood irrigation rice. Then we had a weed control plot area that we were evaluating different type of weed herbicides. Then I have a urea, dry urea nitrogen test, and then we've got a fertigation. So in when I talk about fertigation later on, I'll explain a little bit about how we actually did the test, but basically we injected fertilizer at the pivot or through the pivot system for most of the field, the bulk area. But over here where we had our herbicide, our nitrogen treatments, we did all that by hand or with the applications. So we had to turn the injection pump off in this area and not apply it so we wouldn't confound our data on that. And also, a lot of research, or I say a lot of it, a couple of studies were done back in the 80s with center pivot irrigation rice, particularly in Texas and Louisiana. The biggest problem they had was blast, which is a disease that because you irrigate and make the foliage wet, you have more potential there for diseases. So that's one of the big things we were looking at in our study. So this year on our on the west side of our field, we planted these varieties of rice. And you see that just by the different colors, that's not nitrogen treatment, it's just the way the different varieties of rice, different colors of the varieties. And also we had a hybrid rice, Rice Tech 729, on the different ends of the field. We didn't include that in our actual test because it's a clearfield variety, and in order to use the Beyond New Path herbicides, we didn't want to run the possibility of overspray into other plots. But we did harvest those, and we what we'd use is a combine every 100 feet, took our weights, and this is the results of the different varieties. And you see that the highest yielding was Templeton, which Karen Mullenhauer from University of Arkansas gave me. She told me last year, she said, Gene, you need to try Templeton because it's more blast resistant than the, any other variety we've had in the past. And as I show you some later in other slides, it really bears out. This one here, this pink line, was the hybrid variety. I didn't put statistics on that because we didn't have it replicated four times like we did other treatments. This is a analysis variance or the mean separation showing the Templeton at 166 bushels per acre was our highest yielding variety in that scenario, which, you know, at the price of rice, you can make money with that type of yield. Talking about the irrigation side of it, though, we installed watermark sensors at different depths in the profile at 6 inches and 12 inches. And what we found is we need to have several watermarks and average them together to have any kind of confidence in using that as any kind of irrigation tool because of the variability between the sensor readings. But we had that set up so that it sends a signal back to the officer and it's hooked up to internet, and then we'll call our cell phones if we need water. So that was very convenient. And also, University of Arkansas has an irrigation scheduling program that we worked closely with them and came up with a watering system using estimated soil water deficit. And these blue points right here are irrigations, and the red dots are rainfall. So this year we had more rainfall than we normally would. Normally during this period of time you might get 10 inches of rainfall, and we got almost four times that this year. But we had two periods of times where we had some water stress that we really had to make some adjustment there. And so they were tweaking the irrigation schedule all along based on the watermarks, trying to do a better job of that. This is center bars with the watermark sensors at the different depths for the loam, the 6-inch and the 12-inch through the season. And also, I mentioned earlier about the blast. We scouted fields closely for diseases all through the season. The varieties, the breeders seem to be able to breed for sheath blight resistance or blast resistance, but for some reason it's difficult to get high resistance, either one or both of those in the same variety. But normally with sheath blight, it's in the flood water and spores float up and infect the stems, but since we're not flooding, really sheath blight is not that important in this type of system. So really I tell growers, if you're going to do this, be sure you get one that's more resistant to blast. Okay, this was I got up on the combine on our first trip when we were harvesting, and this is the pivot area here, and I want to point your attention over here. Remember I said there was a quarter of the field that we didn't put any fungicide on by chemigation. If you look closely, you can see this brown area over here, that's blast. So the putting the fungicides and the chemical really made a big difference, and I'll show you later on the yields on that. This is an area that of wells, which is highly susceptible to blast disease. And when we went in there at the combine, we thought our load cells were messed up. We weren't getting any yield at all. You see the variety right next to it, which is resistant to blast, you know, very well. And this is an area without any fungicides on it. So here's this. Of course, this aerial photo was taken before the blast occurred later in the season. But here's Templeton, which is a resistant variety, and also the XL729, the hybrid variety, is fairly resistant to blast. Okay, when I was cutting the stems, though, like this was a variety that was susceptible to blast. The blast is so bad that you cut the stems open and see the black in the middle of the stem. It's a very, very devastating disease compared to, you know, when it's not. You see here the panicle, the way the disease is infected there, and then we also took stems and on the microscope. Here's with Quatris fungicide by chemigation, and here's without it. And there's a visual rating for blast, with 0 being no blast and 10 being extremely bad. And this is our yield. So you see 0 bushels per acre for Francis without a fungicide by chemigation, and 159 bushels for Templeton. So this is looking closely at it. This is cutting plants without fungicides for wells, which is susceptible. This is with, you see the disease there. And also Templeton, which is fairly resistant to blast. You can see that the fungicides had less difference there on the others. This is our fungicide or nitrogen application system for the bulk area. Way we did our actual our plot stuff with fertigation is we used 32% liquid with a sprayer, then we had our pivot lined up ready to go. So as soon as we got through applying our nitrogen fertilizer pivot, we windshield wipered it with the water to prevent leaf burn. And this is where we had dry fertilizer without fertigation. This is the first tiller of nitrogen rates. And this is without a mid-season nitrogen application with 45 pounds, and this is with it. So we got some benefit there with that. This is with fertigation, and when you take what we did was we had a first tiller urea application of nitrogen, and we came back in weekly application for 5 weeks and applied these rates of nitrogen with 32% solution. And you see our yields, we topped out over 200 with this program of only 135 pounds of nitrogen. So this fertigation system really did really well. Am I running out of time? Okay. Basically, the same thing is true with others. And we also had a flooded field that was a Sharkey clay, which holds water well. And our yields there were also very good, in our comparison there, we used about 20 inches of water on a flood and about 18 with our pivot. So we didn't save a great deal of water this year. In 2008, though, we saved about 38%, I think. So, you know, different years can be different ways. Okay, in summary, blast resistance. If you're going to grow the top right, plant a very blast-resistant right and use fungicides. Stay ahead of the weeds. Don't let them get too big. In case of pigweed, spray them at the 2 to 4 leaf stage. And use some sort of irrigation schedule on either water barks or water deficit. And we found the chemigation worked very well. I was really surprised how easy it is. And don't over-fertilize. A lot of times farmers want to put more fertilizer on their rice and make it really dark green. And if you look closely at the yields, you can see that some of our highest yields were not the highest N rate, but more the medium.